This episode of Enough is brought to you by Squarespace, everything you need to create an amazing, professional, and reliable website. Let's talk about Squarespace's fantastic iOS app. Their universal app for iPhone and iPad is mind-blowing, giving you the ability to post wherever you are in whatever format you like. It's so good, it's enough of a reason to switch on its own. If you need to post to your blog and you want to use plain text, you can do that. If you want to post in Markdown, you can do that natively too. The apps even support posting in HTML, if that's your bag, and when using the iPad app, you get additional buttons to add links and text formatting so you don't have to type in all the code manually. The iOS app really shines when it comes to stats. You can see graphs of your page views and unique visitors, as well as all the searches and referral links for people coming to your site. This is a fantastic way to keep track of your traffic whilst on the go. Squarespace's annual plans start from the equivalent of $8 a month, with free domains with any annual plan purchase. But you can also pay on a recurring monthly basis, starting at only $10 a month, if that's what you prefer. Go to squarespace.com/70decibels to start your 2-week free trial. No credit card required to do so. And if you sign up, make sure you use the code 70decibels5 at 70decibels5 at checkout so that you get 10% off and to let Squarespace know that we sent you.
Hey there, Michael.
Hello, Patrick.
How are you?
I'm very well, sir. I'm a little bit warm. It's like our first day of British summer today. But it's okay.
So what's the? Let's see if we can do a little Celsius to Fahrenheit math here.
Mm-hmm.
What is the temperature?
It's 25. It's 25 degrees Celsius.
Let me think. That's not that warm. That's what, 79?
It is. You'd think Google would just tell me that when I search into Google. To the Celsius value, 25. 77. Very close, Pat. Well done. Very impressed.
Yeah, I tell you, of all the kind of metric conversions, that one's the most difficult. A Celsius to Fahrenheit is really, I find, the most difficult. Like, I'm better at calculating kilometers to miles than I am at Celsius to Fahrenheit, mainly because I mean, that freeze point is that with Fahrenheit, this is such a weird number, right?
Yeah.
Whereas with Celsius, it's easy.
Zero.
Zero.
It is the more, I think, you know, sorry, American friends, I think it is the more sensible of the two.
Oh, metric is more sensible no matter which way you cut it. It's us Americans that decided on this weird ass. Based on random numbers. The number 12, for instance.
You know what's kind of funny there? Skype actually edited you.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it kind of cut half the word out. No, I will obviously go back in and make sure I put in the trademark Apple bleep. On 70 decibels, but nevertheless, Skype knew that what was coming and decided it would censor you, which is what we appreciate the Skype lady to do, the Skype Cortex lady. She jumps in from time to time and fixes our obscenity.
Yeah, to completely crap out at the worst times and the best times.
And the best times.
And at all times.
Yes, every time.
So you guys have Netflix over there now, right? Don't you?
Yeah, we do. Yeah, it's not as great as your Netflix, you know, as right. You would expect, of course. But it's good. I watch a lot of MythBusters on Netflix, which is great. The first 4 seasons. I'm getting into that in a big way, Pat. Watching a lot of MythBusters.
Considering it's a show that we effectively ripped off from you guys, wasn't it? I mean, what didn't you guys have something like that? No, you had Junkyard Wars, and we ripped that off and called it something else. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And like The Office and, you know, many shows.
Yeah, yeah. There's even some American version of Top Gear.
Apparently not a lot of people like it.
No, why bother? Come on, Top Gear is top. I mean, there are some things you just don't even try, right?
Do you know there is an American network that's trying to make Sherlock?
Yes, they are doing another completely different reboot with a female Watson.
Yeah, because the BBC threatened legal action.
Yeah, basically said no.
Yeah. Yeah, we were happy to work with you on it. Then you decided you didn't want to do it on your own. So if you want to do it on your own, if you come near any of our tropes, we will kill you.
Yeah, so. Yeah, I don't blame them either. Great. Ooh, show. You want to know what I kind of started to watch, but then kind of dark, man. Jekyll.
That's on my... It's available on Netflix. I've never seen it, and it's only like three episodes or something like that.
Yeah,
but it's something that I do want to watch, and Netflix keeps trying to recommend it to me.
It's kind of way disturbing.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry about the phone.
It's okay.
I never remember to move that damn thing. So speaking of things, the reason I asked about the Netflix was this. So thanks to Andrew Marvin of Quarter Life Engagement, who yesterday tweeted something about Steely Dan's Josie and having recently seen the Netflix Classic Albums streaming. Now, Classic Albums is the series, I don't know who produced it, but it's a series where they take an album by an artist, and then they sit down with that artist, and that artist takes them through the production of the album, track by track, and it is just, it's amazing. It is so unbelievably cool. And being a Steely Dan fan, he tweeted about this, and I immediately was like, what? What's this? And I went and looked around, like, ooh, that looks good. And so that's why I was actually watching just before I got on today.
Okay.
And what's interesting and fortuitous is that there was something that happened in the show just before I was going to, shut it off to, walk up the stairs to sit in my little dungeon here and talk to you. That directly related to something else I was planning on talking about. I've been thinking about a lot lately. Do yourself a favor, first of all, and take the go look and see if the Classic Albums, Steely Dan Aja, AJA, is available to you.
Okay.
Now, you may have no clue because of your age who Steely Dan was, but they're a band that was huge in the 70s and 80s. And their style was kind of this pop soul, pop jazz blend that's really just unbelievably good musicianship. Wonderful harmonies, wonderful songwriting. And the two principals in the band, really, Donald Fagen and Walter. Gosh, I can't remember his name now. I was just watching him.
I can't help it.
In any case, basically, they pretty much wrote all the songs, and they were Steely Dan, effectively.
Right.
It just fascinating because they go through each and every track, and they're sitting there at the soundboard, and they're taking out various instruments and saying, yeah, listen to the bass here, and here's how we thought of this, and we were going to do it like this, and we told them to do it like that. And then they interview the bass player, and he's like, yeah, I think they wanted me to pluck and not slap, because slap was like becoming very popular and everyone was slapping. But there was right there in the chorus, it kind of called for a slap. I didn't want him to see I was slapping, so I kind of had a perk. I put up and kind of turned my body a little bit differently and slapped. And I don't think they ever really caught it up until it was too late, right? And it's just little tiny details like this are just, they're so fascinating. So in any case, one of the, musicians that they interviewed about them said something that I think is profound and connects into something else I've been thinking about heavily lately, which is that the interesting thing about Steely Dan was the goal was not that once you reach perfection, that was the goal, was to reach perfection. But then once you reach perfection, to push beyond it until it became natural.
Mm-hmm.
And I related that back to something that a friend of mine and I were talking. He had read this. I couldn't, so therefore I can't tell you where to, if anyone knows, please email me so I can find get the actual reference and source. And I'm paraphrasing here, obviously. But basically the idea is this, and that is that amateurs push until they succeed. Professionals push until they fail, because it's at the point of failing, when you get past success, when you get past the point of perfection, that the learning starts. And you know, lately on the podcasts here, and you know, just in life in general, I've been talking a lot about running and about conditioning and about exercise, and that's kind of how this conversation came up between my friend and I.
It's an interesting theme that we've developed recently, isn't it? The running.
Yeah. Well, and you know what? The way it came out was this: there's a point in training, you know, whether it's running or working out or whatever, where you meet up against the point of failure. You know, your body just can't go another step. Your mind just can't push itself past that limit, right? And whatever that is, that's what's keeping you, you know, from, you know, at a 5K as opposed to doing a 10K, because every time you push yourself up against that 5K, your body is conditioned to, okay, this is time to stop now, right? It's time for us to quit, right? Because you did 5K. This is what we've been doing. And if you want to do more, well, you know, sorry, that wasn't part of the plan. You haven't trained me to do that, right? Mm-hmm. And so you actually have to push past that point. Right, you have to push past the point where your body and your mind is saying stop, because it's the only way that you're going to get to the next step. Right.
Yep.
And that's what, you know, the that's what the separation is. Right. The amateur will keep running that same 5K all the time. Yep, I'm just going to go out for my three-mile run. Okay, I'm going to go out for my three-mile run again. Okay, I'm going to go for my three-mile run again. And as long as you keep doing that, three-mile runs will be easy. You can go out and whip out a three-mile run anytime.
And that's what you'll become used to as well.
And that's what you'll become used to. That's what your body will become used to. And trust me, your body loves, absolutely loves repetition.
Bit of routine never hurt anybody.
Yep. There's nothing more that your body or mind just feels so comfortable with as repetition. And I mean, it's one of the reasons why eventually your body, like even dieting, eventually your body will just say, oh, okay, you know, he's eating less and he's eating these things. I'm just going to take that and turn it into what I need. And I'm just going to keep it at that. And you won't necessarily lose any weight. And what you find, and one of the things that gets pointed out in a lot of the more recent books is that It actually helps to throw your body off, to actually have a day where you cheat, right? You know, and to actually not make that one particular day, but to switch it up a lot, right? And say, okay, I think on Tuesday I'm going to allow myself to eat whatever I want and not pay attention to, you know, okay, I think now I'm going to have a pizza, and, you know, yeah, as opposed to not having had one for 2 weeks. Because that kind of thing throws your body off.
Do you know the film The 300? The Spartan movie with the guys, like the Spartan warriors, and they've got like the they all built really cut. I was watching the special features for that movie, and the way that they were training for it was they would, like, their drill master or whatever would be training with them, and they would be doing something like, for example, they'd be running through tires on the ground, and then all of a sudden he would be like, now do chin-ups, like, and they would have to run and start doing chin-ups because it was shocking the body, because the body was putting all of its energy into the legs to run through the tires, and then all of a sudden now they need to do pull-ups, so now it's concentrating all the energy on their arms again. And that just, when you said that, it reminded me of it, like tricking the body and making the body do things that it's not used to as a way of conditioning.
Yeah. One of the ways that I've been training and doing my push-ups is actually having a couple of foam rollers.
Yep.
So that and having my hands on those while doing the push-ups, because my mind and body then also have to concentrate on balance.
That sounds like horrendous nose-breaking material that you're putting yourself through there.
It's really hard, and but it puts a lot of other muscles to work, right?
Yeah.
Because your body just doing a standard push-up, like I can drop right down and throw out 20, 30, 40 push-ups, standard push-ups, without even thinking, like without even breaking a sweat, without even breathing. Right,
it's because you're a badass. Like,
you know, that's the point I've worked myself up to, and it doesn't matter how many more I do. Whether I do, you know, okay, now I'm doing 40. Let me increase it to 50. Well, okay, I might breathe a little heavy and force that, you know, 49th and you know 50th out, but after a week or two, I'll do 50, no problem. Right? And because my muscles are already engaged with doing that activity. But when you throw something off balance like that, there's a whole bunch of other muscles that have to actively engage, a whole lot of minor, smaller muscles that never come into play except to keep you balanced on top of those foam rollers, right? And that's a very active thing too, right? You're constantly making minor little adjustments when you're trying to balance on something.
I think
it's something that your body can't get used to.
Yeah. Like, I think there's something to be said for the mind as well with that, Pat. You know, like, as human beings, we really get used to routine, and we love routine, and you see this quite a lot in young children and babies. And when you ruin that routine, or when you know, something becomes so normal and then a spanner's thrown in the works, it really can mess with you.
Oh, yeah.
It can really, yeah. I mean, you know, I speak from personal experience of this sort of stuff. You know, you're used to something, and then all of a sudden, nope, we're doing it this way now, everyone. You're like, what? What are you talking about? This is the worst thing you've ever done to me. Why are you doing this? I mean, this is coming from somebody who works for a large corporation, right? So we have spanners thrown in our works quite frequently. And, and you know, you see it more with the people that have done things this way for the longest. That they just become totally resistant. And you know, to a larger extent as well, coping with change. This reminds me a lot about coping with change, you know, and just change in general. It can be quite a shocking thing to us as humans when somebody turns around and says, you're going to do something a bit differently.
Yeah. But at the same time, you need that, right? that's where the learning comes, right? That's what makes you able to adapt to different situations and different things that might come your way. That's what allows you to ultimately overcome those things as those changes come in. And I think that in that same way, if we really want to, if we really want to start to learn something and start to engage different muscles of our mind and of our and of our body, and we really want to, in order to go from that 3 miles to 5, you're going to have to push past everything that tells you to stop at 3.
Yeah.
You're going to have to push past the pain that your body starts experiencing at 3.5 and 3.6 and 3.7, right? And you're going to have to keep pushing past that pain until you get to 5, right? And then when you get to 5, well, now let's go to 10, right? You know, that's the only way that we can improve is by pushing past, perfection to a point where it becomes natural, as, as the guy in the Steely Dan thing said, right? Which, like I said, I still just find so fascinating this idea that perfection is still
not as good as you can be.
Not as good as you can be. Yeah. Or that perfection is something that you reach after a lot of sweat. What you want is you want to be able to get to any point with no sweat, right?
Mm-hmm.
Or with the knowledge, I shouldn't say with no sweat, with the idea that you have to embrace the sweat, right? You have to embrace the pain. You have to embrace the endurance as a part of getting to that next level. That the only way out is through.
Yeah.
And I think more often than not, we get to a point of success or a point of comfort in our lives, and we stop there. I think of how many people spend years and years in a job that pays well, that they can go in and do with a blindfold on, and go home at the end of the day and not even think about. Yet, is that something you're going to be happy with? Is that something you're going to be proud to tell your children about? Or is that going to just simply be something that's comfortable, something that keeps a roof over your head, right?
Mm-hmm.
And all the while, you may have dreams of doing something better or bigger or more, or something that's more fulfilling, or something that lights your soul on fire. But it doesn't pay as well. It doesn't provide these kind of benefits. It takes hard work. You can't just do it with blinders on. And that's what keeps us from doing it, right? But in order for us to be happy, we have to push past the comfortable. We have to push past the perfection and get to a point where it's natural. So that's my crazy idea of the day, Michael.
I like it. It's a good one. Thank you to Steely Dan for providing.
Yeah, I urge everyone to check out those classic albums series. The whole series, I'm sure, is great, but the only one I've watched, and I've only watched half of, is the Steely Dan one, and it should be a telling sign that just only having watched half of that is enough for me to recommend everything. And that I, too, will be following up by watching everything. So, well, I appreciate you listening once again, Michael, and our readers, our listeners as well. Sorry, I'm a writer.
What can you say?
What can I say? All right. Well, we'll chat later.
We will. Cheers.
Cheers.